This is the Green Lantern Spotlight, episode 32 for November 2009. I don't know why it's chosen me. From the corner of my eye, I catch a glimpse of evil light. Spirit tries to swallow me.
Now, the host of the Green Lantern Spotlight podcast, Frankie Mateo.
Hello, everyone, for this rip-roaring session of the GL Spotlight. As you know, we are the premier spot for all your Green Lantern-related fix and tidbits. Also, be sure to check out the site that sponsors and supports us. On the regular, the www.thegreenlanterncore.com for all sorts of reviews and previews on all things Green Lantern. Now, for your listening pleasure, I bring you my fancy-free panel hosts. We have with us the co-webmaster of the speedster site, Brandon West. How are you doing, Brandon?
Doing good.
The speedsterst.
Speedsword.
I wrote it wrong, I'm sorry. Alright. We also have Kuhan, the originator of the Real View Mirror podcast. How you doing, Kuhan?
I'm actually doing pretty good today. I hope you guys all like this this new fancy opening theme. We had it last episode, but we got it within the editing. Well, I hope you guys like the theme, because even if you hate this podcast, I think you should listen to that awesome, awesome theme. Kirby Crackle.
Likes kiss ass.
Kirby Crackle, yeah, brain capacity. Check him out at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Ding!
Plug. And we also have Muzard. How you doing, Mew?
I can barely hear you, but I'm doing fine.
Ouch.
What? How is that an ouch?
Ouch. I'm really sensitive right now.
I told Eric. You, my mic's crapping out.
You touched the right
of a bitch.
We also have joining us Eric Cahill, who joined us in our previous podcast. How you doing, Eric?
Holla. How you guys doing?
I don't know if he's joining us on purpose or on accident.
Is this the guy that hates Dan Jurgens or hates Mew? Which one?
I
think both.
You, I think.
Okay, well, it's the other one.
I think he hates both. Everybody hates Mew.
So we also have our sponsor, our dedicated sponsor, who keeps us coming back every couple of weeks. We also have Andrew NDB. NDB, how are you doing, Andrew?
Hey, pretty good. I just had to microwave one of my martinis because I did like 12 last night, and I put one in the freezer. Needed it.
That means so much.
I'm so sorry. It's just the ridiculousness of microwaving the martini. Continue.
Well, aside from that, we only have a bit of news, and that would be that we now have details on the contents of all 7 Blackest Night collections to be released in by DC next summer. We have 7 titles, 7 books in all, as many as like the rings that are in the core right now. We have Blackest Night, the main title that contains all 8 issues of the miniseries. We have Blackest Night Green Lantern, all the Green Lantern tie-ins. We have the Blackest Night Green Lantern Core, all the Green Lantern Core tie-ins. We also have 2 Green Lantern Black Lantern Core books, Volumes 1 and Volumes 2, which are split up between all the individual single tie-in issues, like Blackest Night Batman, Superman, Titans, JSA Flash, and Wonder Woman's, which have yet to be released. We also have Blackest Night Rise of the Black Titans, which is the 8 resurrected titles, which are going to be premiering, what is it again, like the following year?
Yeah, sure. I don't know.
I wanted someone to actually chime in on that one.
Somebody want to chime in? Wes, you know the kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
yeah.
I'm not buying all these trades.
Of course you're not.
Fucking mine.
Just like you're not buying a giant book to put on your lap.
Exactly. I mean.
Oh, yeah. So what the fuck are you going to do?
I'm just not going to buy the trade.
I mean, you either want to completely buy all these separately, or you want one giant omnibus that apparently you do not want to buy.
No, Wes didn't want the big omnibus, and now he's
exactly. I'm trying to figure out whether he wants a giant omnibus or he wants an individual trades.
Preferably, I would take these individual trades, just not seven fucking books.
That's you're gonna have to stop. I don't know. Like, it's only like I think it's kind of like as we're reading all the issues, you're kind of realizing only certain ones of this series are gonna be worth reading again in like 2 months' time, let alone like by the summer. You know what I mean?
Well, we'll get into it.
Yeah, so the third trade is away. I mean, what's unfortunate for me is a lot of the canceled titles that are going to be collected in the collected editions, whatever, it's kind of frustrating for me because one or two of those titles are titles I follow, and it's kind of like they're doing, like, some of the guys who are doing the issues are taking advantage, apparently, and, like, doing a kind of last issue sort of these things. You know, and now if I have collected editions of, like, the Catwoman's, you know, or, like, the Questions and stuff like that, it's kind of like now I got to buy a single issue, and then, I don't know, it's frustrating for me.
So I have to buy them all and then stuff them back into the closet?
It'd be pretty weird if they included it with a full collection of, like, those canceled series. I mean, if you were to read if you were to read the last issue and then read this Blackest Night issue, I mean, it's not like they're going back in time to when it ended. No, it's in the present, and it's in the middle of Blackest Night.
It has technically nothing to do with the last issue that apparently this book is following. It's just after the it's in the same number. Meaning following
From what I understand, a lot of the guys, like James Robinson, is taking advantage of it, and he's going to do, like, a tie-in to, like, one of his continuing Starman stories and stuff, and just kind of throw the Blackest Night in there and stuff.
Has he confirmed yet if he's actually going to include Jack Knight or not?
I don't think Jack's in it.
Yeah, I think he just ended his brother.
Are we still talking about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jack's not going to be in it.
Am I muted?
You're not muted. I'm like, really, is there all that much to talk about?
I wouldn't say I'm pissed about adding Catwoman or the Question to it, but
I just hate it.
They haven't even finished releasing all the Question trades yet, and now I have to add this one random ass issue to my collection. It's just gonna look weird. It's not gonna fit the whole style.
You got Dennis O'Neil back. Aren't you happy?
For one issue. Plus,
Wes is never happy. What do you not understand about this?
You know what?
It's technically nothing to be happy about. I mean, he only gets one issue of getting back his writer, and that's about it.
Is anybody else going to get seven trades of Blackest Night?
I'll wait for the Absolute Edition.
I'll get 8 trades of Blackest Night.
That was funny.
I'll get 8 trades of Blackest Night.
I definitely will get the ones connected to Green Lantern Corps and the Green Lantern title, and I'll probably have to get Blackest Night too, but I am angry about it.
How angry?
Pretty angry. Well, I mean, it's kind of like
Eric when he's angry.
After I usually read the issues, either I, you know, give them off to somebody else or I collect them and keep them if I want them, but like, so I usually do end up buying the books now. And stuff, so I don't mind too much. It's just kind of like, I haven't really liked Blackest Night, you know, so it's frustrating to me to have followed and gotten all the Green Lantern collections to now, and then I have to buy 3 times as many as I was before, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I probably won't buy them, but that's only because I bought all the issues. The main reason I'm getting a trade is because you don't have the issues, and also maybe sometimes there'll be special stuff in there, and if there's special stuff I want to see, my local library is pretty cool about that kind of stuff, and they usually have the trades, so... Check your
if you want to keep your issues in mint condition, it's always good to have a trade that you can read whenever you want.
Yeah, but I don't care.
I prefer the trades anyway. Yeah. I am one of those guys that, for certain titles, I only buy the trades and stuff, you know?
I generally don't do any trades. I mean, I'll get all the issues, and if I really wanted to have a trade, like, I just know that they wouldn't collect all the issues that I would want to see in the trade, so if I really wanted to, I'm sure I could just, like, get all the issues I'd want to see in a Blackest Night trade, rip out the spines, and just, you know, hole punch them and stick them in the binder, and there's a trade paperback that I'd want. I mean,
you could get them professionally bound.
I could do that, sure.
Well, that's why I wanted these things, like, the Absolute Editions are kind of like a dream for me. I've definitely bought Absolute Editions of comics. I haven't really liked that much, you know what I mean, just because of how huge they are and how much stuff they come with them, you know, like the Crisis on Infinite Earths. Like, I'm kind of, when I bought the trade for that, I was kind of upset, you know what I mean, but then I bought the Absolute Edition, you know, because it's got just so much shit in it, you know.
Well, that's everybody's feelings on that.
Yes, it is.
You know, some positive, some not so positive. Most people say they'll buy. Most people say they won't. Most people just say they'll buy a few and leave the other ones to the wayside.
I want to ask, since I saw it here, that the Wednesday comics is being collected as a hardcover, which is great, because I actually bought all the Wednesday comics, but I'm probably going to buy the hardcover, too, because it's still pretty large. It's not, like, the same format or whatever. And it's
smaller, though, isn't it?
Yeah, slightly smaller. Well, it's, like 4 or 5 inches smaller, but still, like, $50 is actually pretty cheap considering how much you're getting and stuff. And I don't, did you guys talk about the Green Lantern strip and that in your previous podcast?
Not at all.
No, we haven't actually got a chance to during the time.
Did any one of us read it?
I didn't.
I read the first two issues.
I read the first two only.
The entirety of Wednesday comics.
The first two pages of the Green Lantern Wednesday comics section.
I read each page of each one.
I guess that means we'll have to do a special.
I felt too burned up by that point. I mean, I liked 52, but I didn't like Countdown, and I didn't like Trinity. And then it's like, oh, come by Wednesday Comics. And it's like, nah, you fooled me twice. That's it, I'm done with you guys.
I'm definitely one of those guys that's dialing down and getting kind of frustrated with how much I'm spending every week on these issues and stuff. And Wednesday Comic was a little more expensive than I wanted, but, like, that's the kind of thing that I like. I mean, if comics are going to continue being published in a published, like a physical format, I mean, everybody kind of understands it's going to the internet, you know? But, like, if we're going to continue to publish it like this at all, like, physically, then we kind of have to, like, change formats, you know? So I feel like Wednesday Comics was, like, the last gasp of, like, you know, different formats and stuff, you know? And I really liked it. Like, I liked it being so big. In all fairness, most of them were terrible, but, including Green Lantern one was kind of terrible, but, like, I hate Kirby Six, so, I kind of, I guess, biased going into it.
That being said, we had an interview.
Speaking of Trinity.
Did you guys interview him?
Kind of. I mean.
Yes. Yes, we did.
It was one of those. It was almost like, here. Here's a bunch of.
You can find that.
Wait. Allow Wes to plug in our current music interview.
You can find that interview at thegreenlanterncorps.com.
Excellent plug.
You can find that www.thegreenlanterncorps.com, and you find it in the interview section, West, or which
section? Yeah, you go to the website, you click on interviews, you'll see it. It's like one of the first ones.
West, fail plug is fail.
So how would you guys rate the various weeklies as satisfying to you?
Well, I didn't read them all.
Well, what you did read.
Okay, Flash was great for the first 3 weeks.
Oh, for the Wednesday comics you're talking about?
Yeah.
I was talking about all weeklies they've done since 52.
Oh. 52, easily.
52 was great, Crisis was terrible, and I couldn't finish.
I think Countdown was the best one, guys.
Get out.
Oops.
Yeah, so,
Say it again? I'm sorry, say it again there?
I said one of the best things about Countdown was seeing Kyle Rayner, except that he didn't do anything, you know? And, like, the worst part is what was really interesting about Countdown is, like, hey, we're going to go to all the parallel Earths, except instead of buying that in Countdown, you actually have to buy a whole other miniseries, you know what I mean? Which, again, had no bearing on the storyline at all, you know? So.
Nope. No, it did not.
I mean, Countdown is one of those failures of editorial that is kind of, like, glaring a lot of these big events and stuff like that, so. I mean, that's one of the things why 52, I mean, it's funny because think about it, in hindsight, 52 was such a massive success. It's great, you know what I mean? And, like, it seems even better now considering DC's done 2 weeklies since then that haven't really been all that great.
I think Countdown was rushed.
It kind of does benefit from comparison, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Countdown was too rushed, I think you're right. And the art was just like, oh my god. Like, you know, I mean, I don't appreciate what these guys did. Obviously, they're working with a gun and stuff, but, like, and it's cool to see. It was actually one of the best things about Countdown was watching Scott Collins.
It was hit or miss.
Scott Collins, like,
he had some good moments, I think.
Who drew that one issue where it was Jason got the Red Robin costume? That was a fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking.
Where Batman gets punched in the head through the head or something. It was very nice art in that. And then there's a few others. Yeah, too.
Andre Amito, whatever her name is, DeVito. Andre, she draws a lot of cosmic stuff. What's his name, the guy who did Robin for like 5 minutes when they did one
Freddie
year.
Freddie Williams,
yeah.
He did a few issues. Those are great. I like Freddie Williams. Yeah,
good
he did that kind of cartoon stuff. Sorry. Well, I was going to say something about Freddie Williams. I think Freddie Williams is good. I want to see him on something like Green Lantern and stuff because I like, he's got this really cool blocky cartoon style, which is the kind of thing like guys like Joe Madd and a lot of other guys were trying to pull off like a decade ago and still trying to pull off today, you know? But he kind of just does it, and it's really effortless, you know what I mean? I think it's very, like, it's like Damian Scott, you know what I mean? It's very, like, it's very, it's got this kind of cool, I don't know, like, urban graffiti art style. It's very cool. Very cool.
I don't like his chins. They really annoy me.
Yeah, I didn't really like his run during Robin, to me.
I didn't mind the Robin run. It was the couple issues of Flash he did that were just, towards the end, it was just like,
I think the Detective Comics run has been great.
His art style reminds me of Scotty Young.
Oh, that's J.H. Williams, yeah.
J.H. Williams, not Freddie Williams.
I'm sorry, I'm getting my Williams mixed up.
Yeah, that's J.H. the third. Yeah, this is Freddie the second.
Who's Robin?
There's a bunch of Roman numerals. And
wait, whatever.
Are you talking about Robin Williams?
Robin Williams. Yeah, I remember when he did his run for you know, Catwoman. I completely did not like Robin Williams' run on Catwoman.
Oh, really? Dude, I love Robin Williams. I love Robin Williams' run on Catwoman. What are you talking about?
Well, aside from that, let's actually get into our reviews of the comic books of what we're supposed to pertain in Green Lantern
this
time. Yes,
thank God.
Huh. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's what we're actually doing. So we'll start it off with
So who are the Flash?
Outsiders number 24. And I would give it to, let's see, I'll give it to Mew. I'll give it to you first.
The Return of Terra for the first time, for the second time, for the last time.
This is the
zombies are coming back, and this time it's Terra harassing her brother. I've got to ask, is she, I know she's been known to be pretty much the DCBS artist, but is she legitimately coming back as, like, something conscionable, or is it just, like, the most epic mind screw yet?
I think it's the most epic mind. Like at first I'm like, oh, this is just a mind screw vlog, and then I'm like, oh, hold on, well, maybe it's legitimate, and I'm like, no, it's a mind, no, wait, maybe it's legitimate, no, wait,
Because, at least, in her first time, she almost immediately went for the jump for the heart, but this time it's, like, subtle and, like, pushing at it.
We know they're supposed to build emotion, so that there's a. I think that's kind of like the point of the story. We're supposed to understand that she has a practical reason for drawing this out, and she has an actual.
She's like drawing like.
But it makes it very clear in the beginning. A heart filled with emotion. I'm looking forward to Edie talking about her brother. I mean, that's doesn't get more clear than that.
That could just be a flashback to before she fought the Titans. She rose, went to fight the Titans. She got her ass kicked by Starfire, and now she's fucking with her brother.
Well, here's, again, this is one of the things...
Now she's fucking with her brother.
We were talking about last week that these comics don't really... They haven't really taken advantage of the idea of dead characters coming back in, like, the 160 issues that have been released so far, and they're finally starting to do it with this. Like, this is what we should have had from the beginning. We're not... Every time a Black Lantern shows up, there's a little bit of confusion, but it's pretty clear, straightforward that they're evil. Like, you know what I mean? Like, headcore blowing up people's houses and stuff, and, like, at least this way they're taking, like, a kind of, like, a roundabout way they're actually going to come.
No, it's
Oops,
true.
There goes the... My house.
Oh, wait, he's clearly evil. No, it's true. It's
a legitimate point.
When you think about it, that issue becomes a whole lot better now that I realize that he completely destroyed their house.
I can't believe you missed that the first time around, Wes.
That is pretty fucking evil.
I mean, yeah, it's like, hey, are you on our side now? I blew up your house. Like, it's like, oh my god, Ted, are you back? Well, you blew up my house. It's kind of like, uncalled.
dude, that was uncalled for.
No, it's pretty hilarious. Like, Ted, you're back. I blew up your house, man. Let's have some drinks.
Yeah, and like the whole next issue where they're arguing about whether they're friends or not, like, you know, they should just keep pointing to the house. Like, that's all my stuff is there. That's all my stuff.
Like, whoa, man. Too far. Too far.
That's my ottoman. That's my ottoman on my wall. I'm fine.
Shut up.
Ted Cordani only fucked up my house like that after a few drinks.
All right, Mew, continue with your review.
All right. One of the things I wanted to touch on was Halo. She's got the best potential for taking out the Black Lanterns, but it's squandered. She's only using the green energy. All she needs to do is slightly shift her emotions, and she could destroy them all.
Well, remember, it doesn't work like that, because Alan Scott has green, and apparently his ring doesn't do
that. That
is shit. Oh, wait, no, we forget. It's green, but it's not the same.
Wasn't she the one that was tied to the
bullshit.
Emotion spectrum, too?
It's bullshit, though, because he's using
the
will.
Temperature down, and they get left alone, so...
But how do you know who he's using his will? Like, Anderson's bullshit because he's using will, but how do you know what he's using his will? Maybe he's using just, like, mind power or something.
Magic.
Oh, it's well established if you have the... And I do have practically all the Volume 1 comics. with Alan Scott. It's
Jeff Cobb.
It says willpower.
No. Alan Scott has not been retconned by Jeff Johns.
Hold on, wait. Yeah, no.
Reflash Rebirth this week.
Alan Scott has not been officially retconned by Jeff Johns.
Yes, now, Alan Scott
was
used magic.
It was either Halo or one of the people from the Legion of Three Worlds, but someone was able to use all the emotional spectrum and energy form.
That was what is it? Rainbow Girl.
Yeah, probably it was probably definitely Legion Rare because it's.
Oh, that was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was during
Legion of Three Worlds. I distinctly remember one was able to use the different spectrums of energy.
Yeah, that was Legion of Three Worlds. That was Rainbow Girl. No, wait, that was Superman and Legion of Superheroes. That was back then. That was Rainbow Girl.
Or was it Rainbow Lass?
Doesn't matter. Rainbow person that's younger than a certain age.
It's potential that she could take them out with the ability she has.
Pretty much. So, overall, I like the issue. I mean, there could have been more content, which is the main problem. It's like, for a lot of these issues, especially the two-issue ones, it's like, you're worried about, are they cramming one issue's worth of content into two issues and just spreading it too thin or not? And with that kind of issue in mind, aside from little bugs like that, I liked it, so I'll give it 4 flying zombie fists out of 5.
Which is a letter grade.
It's a B.
Okay.
4 out of 5. 80%.
Do your own math, Mr. Astrophysicist.
Kuhan, your take on Outsiders number 24?
Okay, well, as I open this issue...
You said you read this issue.
I did. No. I said as I opened this issue, like, at first, yesterday, last night. As I opened this issue, I was all like, oh, wait, Terra again? Really? Terra, didn't we just go through this?
Did you need to actually open this issue?
Did you not see the giant face?
Well, that's kind of hard.
Covers to be fair.
That doesn't really look like her at all.
Yeah, that does not look like Terra at all. What are you talking about?
At least comparing to the...
It's just sort of a zombie face with lots of hair. I mean, that could be anybody. Anyways.
Except for the tats, yeah.
Just let me do my review.
It's like Diamond Dave
and the brother in her hand.
The hair does not look the same at all. It's
what is
similar.
That hair? I mean, it's like...
Well, no, like, but when you open up the issue, the hair is totally different.
It doesn't matter. We're not getting an argument about hair.
Anyways, as I open this, first of all, the thing I thought was the most stupid was just like I picked Terra because it sounded like terror, and I'm like, yeah, it was also your name, homonym. Still your name. Anyways, so yeah, like, I went to this issue. First thing that confused me was I haven't read Outsiders for a while. So I was like, who was Owlman? Wasn't he, like, Earth 3? I Googled it later. So.
Wasn't he Watchmen?
Yeah.
That's why he's there, but that's not who he is.
Right. I knew who Owlman was technically. But I knew there was like the Earth 3 Owlman or like the alternate Earth Owlman, whatever they do with Owlman, the crime syndicate. I knew there was that, but I had no clue what this Owlman was. Anyways.
That's Night Owl. This is Owlman.
No. They're both Owlman. Crime syndicate is Owlman.
Yeah, the crime syndicate is Owlman.
Thomas Wayne Jr., Owlman. I know my crime syndicate. Kind of. Anywho,
Night Owl
is Watchmen.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Right. Who's Night Owl?
Wow. I thought Owlman was in the Watchmen.
Might I just say, epic fail. Anyways, so yeah, the whole Terra thing I thought was pretty stupid. Like, we just went through this, except much shorter and much more succinct in, Blackest Night Titans with, you know, it was the exact same thing except with Terra and Beast Boy, and now, and there was less people surrounding them, and now it's Terra and Geo-Force, and another thing, again, I haven't read Outsiders or anything with Geo-Force in it for the longest time, but I thought he was mute or something.
As we all remember in the last one in Tusman of the DC Universe.
Yeah, wasn't he, like, mute or something, or what happened there?
He probably
got injured. He got better.
Okay, yeah, that's what I figured, but I was confused.
He's fine.
Yeah, I remember Star Labs, Cadmus, all these giant tentacle firms.
Anyways,
yeah.
Was
so pointless.
He got your phone call. He knows you care.
I don't remember. Like, a lot of these people, so the first half is all, you know, Terra and those people who, I know most of who these people are, except Alaman sort of confused me, but I knew the basis. And then the second half, I figured out that was Katana. And I knew there was the one guy who, I forget his name, I always forget what his name is, Creeper or something like that? Creeper or something?
Yeah, the Creeper.
The Creeper? And so, like, I was reading that, and first of all, I had no clue that was Killer Croc until the Creeper goes, "Hey, Killer Croc!" And then the other thing is, this issue proves why Asian women shouldn't drive.
I will not say anything.
You know, you're not going to say anything?
That
an Asian lady is the reason that my the reason my car is undrivable.
No, move on.
Kind of undrivable.
Yeah.
Crazy Asian lady ran into my car. Pissed me off.
Anyways,
the whole this issue was pretty stupid. Like, you know, there was most of the stuff was like, "Oh, hey, oh yeah, Terra's back, yay again," and everybody's like, "Oh well, you know, we should make sure she's really." Oh, but no, I totally believe her, guys. The same thing happens every single time. Like this was basically a rehashing of this. This is basically every single Blackest Night story that has been coming out.
Yep.
Every single Blackest Night tie-in is the same.
Yep.
And it's just more of the same.
Yep.
All it is.
Yep.
Except with different characters.
Yep.
Barely.
I'm glad Wes agrees.
Obviously, Wes agrees
really
with me.
Feel less, honestly.
No, wait. We'll get to him in a second.
Okay. almost done here. That being said, I mean, it was okay, I guess.
Oh, boy.
I mean, it wasn't that terrible.
You've lost West, Kuhan.
It wasn't that terrible. I understand some things, but I mean, all in all,
Say it.
Let him come to his own conclusions.
D plus. I'll leave it at a D. It's not a fail of an issue. I mean, it wasn't terrible writing. It's just that there's that. I mean, it's kind of hard to do, like, anything with, like, hey, just so you know, by the way, there's a Blackest Night tie-in coming in and Outsiders. Oh, let's bring some people back and have them talk about stuff. I mean, there was really no point to this issue. You know what? More writers need to be like Tony Bedard and do it right. That Rebels issue was done right. This Outsiders issue was not. D plus.
West.
Shader aid.
No, let us all hear what he really feels.
Yes, how I really feel. I have mixed feelings, actually. I thought the first half of the issue with Terra or Tara, however you want to say it.
Terror.
As she thinks she's saying it, terror.
Oh, the art was okay, by the way. Just saying.
That's what I'm getting at. I didn't like it. I thought the art kind of shifted from the first half to the second half.
Yeah, totally.
I love the Katana art at the end.
Oh my god, totally. I agree so much.
Well done. I thought it was really dull and dry at the beginning. Probably because they were just standing there. But the art did improve over the issue, and that basically saves it from giving it an F. Otherwise, it was damn boring. I thought it was written okay. It wasn't the worst dialogue ever. Like, I don't know who said it. What was it? Metamorpho? Was that him? Who said, next time try knocking. That was funny. That's a clue right there. I mean, if Blue Beetle is knocking over houses and she's knocking over doors.
I'm supposed it's a clear indication that you might be evil.
You might be a bad bitch.
I do think that the page of Terror Rising was okay. I mean, it was pretty good. The page of People Rising mostly is pretty good in most of these issues. I think they put all their work into that page and then sort of...
It's so dynamic, I think it's hard to kind of get that kind of image wrong, you know what I mean?
I think I'm over it now. I don't think any of them do anything. It
doesn't really do much for me, but the art on it is definitely probably the best art in most of these books.
I like
honestly, after reading how the three issues this week had the same exact opening, I was kind of like, the first issue of oh, it's okay. It's like, that's obviously the link they're doing, but it is obnoxious.
Oh my god, I did not even notice that. Like, it's all this, always, although, admittedly, the Adventure Comics opened slightly differently, but.
Same actual progress.
The same scene, though.
Yeah, same progress.
Yeah, the same basic idea. And it's obviously they did that on purpose to kind of give some cohesion to the event, but it did get a little obnoxious. I mean, you think about the fact that it's a waste of page. Like, you get, like, six pages just setting up the event, and we don't need it, you know what I mean? Like, how many more splash spaces of people coming out of graves do we need?
Wes?
To wrap it up, I want to say that I read the issue before this that introduced Tara knocking down the door.
So not much happened there either.
No, that was a terrible issue. Like, one of the worst I've read in months. To be fair for this issue, it did kind of move the story. It did play off of the last issue with Killer Croc, who, like Juan said, has been drawn completely inconsistent for the last 2 or 3 years now.
Oh my god, sometimes he has a snout, sometimes he doesn't have a snout, sometimes it's totally confusing.
Credible guys think it's kind of a bad idea to give him a big alligator head like Jim Lee gave him, you know what I mean? So most people kind of settle on the mid-minute. I actually like this design. This is probably the happiest medium I can get.
I like having him with, like, a bit of a snout, but there's, like, no snout on this. Like, I can barely, like, he's supposed to be a crocodile. Crocodiles have a
snout. No, he's supposed to be a guy with a skin disease.
Yeah. Well, I thought he's slowly becoming more and more crocodile-like.
No, it was apparently some... apparently some weird... During Batman Hush, that he genetically got mutated to become more and more crocodile, which
doesn't actually make any sense. Yeah.
No,
he has no crocodile DNA in him. It's not like he's half croc. Not like his mom was a crocodile. Like
his dad got it all with a leg. Like, you know, yeah, this makes sense.
He's like a mean-spirited guy. You know what I mean? Like that's
who
all.
Who had a skin disease?
Yeah.
And now he's eating people.
And now he's an actual alligator.
A little bit of psychosis.
Yeah, to wrap things up, it was good art at times, bad story, terrible characters, aside from Black Lightning.
The black guy was the only good one.
Exactly. I give it a D.
Alright.
Minus.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry.
Dude, I gave it a D+, and Wes needs to send it a little lower than I did, so...
It'll be lower by the time we end the review.
Eric, what's your take on Outsiders of 24?
Well, mine's a little different. I'm a little bit more positive about it. When I first read it, I definitely thought it was kind of a waste of time, but I actually do like the art a lot, and I think you're right that there are two completely distinct styles on the guy, the beginning and then at the end or whatever. I think they're both pretty good. I think you're right that it's a little stiff in the beginning. It looks like he's drawing, like, posed figures than anything else. But it's actually also really clear while not being, like, too simple, you know what I mean? And I think one of the things that's different, which is something they really shouldn't have been doing since the beginning, is they have at least this issue and the next issue are going to be about whether or not Eric's actually corrupted, whether she's actually trying to do, the right thing by these guys and stuff like that. Which, again, we can assume she's not because it's Blackest Night, you know what I mean? But, like... At least the drama should have been there from the beginning. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like, you know, like, there's been no drama whatsoever. Like, somebody will show up and be like, I'm totally evil and I'm going to kill you even though I was your mom. You know what I mean? But, like, at least this time she's like, you know, I was your sister. I totally like you, right? So, you know. And it actually makes more sense. I mean, my biggest problem with this issue is, like, if Blackest Night is happening and it's only taking place over one night, I mean, so far, why don't the outsiders know about what's going on in the rest of the world, you know? And if she's already attacked the Titans, how come they haven't heard about it?
Because they're like, outsiders. They're on the outside.
Your pun is stupid.
See what you did.
You can edit that out. people like completely ignore. I think you guys are ignoring what I think really, really awesome action bit in the middle of the issue where you know, Katana's like family cuts her truck in half as it's driving. Yeah. I think that's a really cool
slash double. Slash pages.
I thought that was retarded.
The best part of the issue.
Two giant slash pages.
What's a little confusing to me is Katana. Her family cutting her truck in half, almost kill her, all her and her friends, and the first thing she does is like, oh my god, I'm so happy to see you, and is like hugging them like 2 seconds later, you know what I mean? Which is so bizarre. I mean, it makes perfect sense in comic logic, and I think Tomasi, I think normally I just write him off as kind of a hack, but like after the last Green Lantern Corps issue with the bit with Kilowog and the kids, I kind of get a sense that he's actually going out of his way to kind of try to set up really strong emotional beats per character, you know what I mean? I think that's pretty cool. I think it kind of comes off as like, she doesn't even really care that they just exploded her truck in this wicked awesome action sequence right in front of her. She's just so happy to see them, you know what I mean? I mean, that's also something Blackest Night should be about, because we can't forget that every single character that's ever died in the conflict has died in either a horrific or convoluted way. So the first thing that should happen when you see someone come back from the dead is confusion, you know what I mean? So
no, I completely agree with you.
And I think Tomasi does a good job in this issue of balancing a lot of the characters. My only real problem with this issue is that not enough happens in it. It feels like too much of an interstitial, you know what I mean? And I think... you get this a lot in Green Lantern Corps, too, which I like a lot. It's one of my favorite titles. But you do feel like a lot of every issue is padded, you know what I mean? And it's lame, but when you read the story as it comes together, it actually works really well that he gives all this stuff room to breathe, you know? But, like, again, as someone who doesn't follow the outside, it almost made me want to go back and read some of the issues, you know?
Don't do that. I wouldn't recommend it either.
Because I read it all the way through up until Chuck Dixon, I think, was writing it, right, for like a minute, and then I just couldn't really read anymore because Batman was doing Black Op operations, pitting armies against each other in, like, Cambodia, and that's really, really not cool, you know what I mean? Like, White Man's Burden kind of stuff, I'm not really into that, you know? There's one specific point I want to talk about in this issue, that there's this thing called the Bechdel test. Have you guys ever heard of this? It's this, the Bechdel test. It's this woman used to do a webcomic about lesbians, and her whole thing was, like, there was a running joke in her comic that none of the characters would go see a movie unless it featured two women who had names who had a conversation with each other about something besides a man, you know? And it's actually something, if you read a lot of comics, you never see it, you know what I mean? So when Halo and Katana got down to have a conversation, I was really excited, like, oh.
Until the first thing came out of their mouths was
the first thing she said, what's the most important thing we should talk about? Boys. Like, you know, so I was kind of, I was just sexist. I think it's really unnecessary.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird seeing that. Yeah, you didn't read the issue before this, and I know you did, Wes, number 23 for Outsiders. The whole bit between Katana and Halo, seeing that I haven't read anything from Outsiders so long, I actually did read 23, and in reading 24, their relationship to me seemed more than just friends until that conversation came up.
Yeah.
Well, that's
they can't be bisexual? Right from,
did anybody read the, I'm sorry, what?
No, he says...
Oh, did y'all read Outsiders when it first started, when they had the Grace and Thunder thing?
Yeah.
Where Black Lightning's daughter came out and stuff like that. And that's cool. Yeah. I really prefer more gay characters in comics, but the problem is they're all lesbians, you know what I mean? Except for Alan Scott's son, you know, who's like super crazy evil schizo. So I mean, overall, like I said, I like the art. I think Tomasi does a good job balancing a lot of the characters. I think the bit cutting off the finger seems a bit extreme. Why didn't they just try to take the ring off first? But it's also Tomasi does that, like, cool. And that's kind of cool. I like the way that scene plays out. It's pretty cool. And I think the end of the issue is pretty cool because Katana actually, it's interesting because Katana goes through a character arc, like, she has a beginning, a middle, and end in character development. This is one of the things I hate about Jeff Johns' book, that his characters never have development. He just has other characters tell you how the characters are, like, hey, well, you know, you're the bravest guy I've ever met because you represent light or something. And the character doesn't have to do anything to prove that. He just is that way. And after reading, you know, 60-odd issues of his Hal Jordan's the same exact person he was when the story started, hasn't gone anywhere, you know. And it's interesting to read one issue where Katana goes through more changes emotionally and in her personality than Hal Jordan goes through in the entire series Jeff Johns has been writing, so I think that's pretty cool. But overall, I'm gonna... Huh?
What's your grade?
I'm gonna say overall, I'm gonna be polite, say C+, but it's mostly for the art.
Alright.
Actually.
I think, and also, I really want to say that the last two pages are actually really, really interesting because he uses the, idea of Halo's light coming down as like this kind of like really cool kind of ethereal effect, you know what I mean? Like, very cool. Very cool.
Andrew, what's your take on
on the
on Outsiders number 24?
Indifference bordering on somewhat liking it. I mean, it's somewhere between Doom Patrol and what was the other one?
Rebels?
The week after that one.
The week after Rebels?
Rebels. This is Rebels.
The week after.
Between
Rebels.
No, but after Doom Patrol. Between Doom Patrol and Rebels, it's interesting, but not so much on the level of someone that isn't already following Outsiders. I mean, it doesn't reveal anything new. It doesn't give us any new insight into Blackest Night. It's just another story of someone claiming to be the real person and all the feelings and emotions that they dredge up coming to the forefront again. Granted, there is a bit of a... It puts a different spin on it in the sense that she's kind of like, kind of coming clean about, do all the research on me, you know, call the Titans, you know, open book, which is kind of new there. And yeah, like you guys said earlier, I was kind of bouncing back and forth as I read it, which was kind of strange because I shouldn't have, about is she playing the game? Did she really change? What's going on here? But, by the end, I'm just sick of the whole thing. I mean, it's like, it's the same story with this over and over again, and now it's not only the same thing, but it's the same character now in another series they're doing it over with. The art is good. I liked seeing Scott Hanna. I used to love his work on Detective Comics with Graham Nolan. Nice to see him get a little bit of work. Only gripe about the art is probably the scene with the Katana's family. They obviously don't have black rings. I mean, it's like you can see the hands in like many panels, and there's no black rings. That's about it. I mean, I like the art for the most part, although I don't like the whole, and it's just it's a personal preference, but I don't like seeing like the teeth as part of the face, kind of like harkening back to the Booster Gold issue with Ted with the teeth face. It doesn't work for me, but,
And the same damn nose too, pretty much.
Yeah. The Crypt Keeper look.
Well, actually, that was cool about Katana's husband. That's one of the things, if you look on the last two pages, there's the bit where he's looking up at the kids, and one half of his face is all, like, gnarly, and the other half of his face looks kind of clean, you know what I mean? So he has, like, half teeth, half no teeth. It looks pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I just to mention, I do like, they like the character designs in the second half, but the first, the Terra is just weird.
Well, there is different, there is multiple inkers on this one. This one has,
three?
I feel like Scott Hanna ain't the end of it. Scott Hanna used to be really, like, a big, thick, like, black lines and stuff like that.
Totally. Big, thick lines.
The end
lines.
Of it looks, like, much darker than the first half, and, like, the inker's going crazy. Like, Scott Hanna's like, look, I'm still alive, kind of a thing.
Yeah. Black That's all black I got. Black. I mean, no strong feelings either way. I mean... All
right, so what would be your final grade on it?
I give it, like, a C+. If I was a big fan of the book, maybe I'd give it higher, but...
Oh. Well, you never know, they might have the rings in their, toes just or something.
I'm tired of Terra.
They have in their mouth.
No, I can agree. I mean, this issue itself doesn't really bring much in the forefront of new ideas. I mean, I do agree with like what? Huh?
We're not at the beginning of Blackest Night. We're over halfway done with it. And we're still
doing the same
crap we got like in the first month.
Yeah, and then we're being spoon-fed the same thing. And then not only that, but we're getting spoon-fed the same flavor with Terra, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, my God, it's so stupid.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, I wasn't fooled at all. You know, like, apparently most people were going, like, you know what, is she good, is she bad? I mean, no, it's clearly she's bad. I don't care how this story is being shaped up. As a reader, we clearly understand that she's evil. You know, I mean, that's a problem with Blackest Night as far as we've seen fit, because since issue one with Jeff Johns' little run here, we've had this entire part of, you know what, these guys are evil. That's what they are, they're programs.
Well, can I say one thing about this?
As far as we're going to know, that's all we're going to get.
Well, you know, I say one thing about the Terra thing. What's interesting is I feel like they should have done this more in Blackest Night and Titans, because Terra's whole thing, her character history, is that, you know, she was good and then she betrayed the Titans, and at the very end she kind of turned, you know, against Deathstroke and stuff, and maybe for her own reasons, maybe because she really wanted to be a Titan kind of stuff. So there's always been this kind of interesting ambiguity about her character, which I think they should have played up in Titans. I think Tomasi's kind of, if anything, more respecting her history here than they did in the Titans comic.
Right,
I think they did.
What, during the Titans book?
Yeah, I think they did to a point. I think they just focused more so on the personal side that her betrayal had. Exactly.
I can understand how more her betrayal had more impact on Beast Boy than anybody else, and how she wanted to play on his feelings more than anyone else on the Titans are. But
oh yeah, because I mean thematically her allegiance, like not just necessarily, you know, I just mean like specifically who she loyal to and stuff is kind of like part of the run. Because, you know, you got to think about, I think this is slightly different than what we've seen so far, but I do agree this is something you should have seen in the first week as opposed to last week.
Right. Yes. I mean, if we were introduced to this as we were off and running, then this would have been more of a change, or not even more of a change, but at least we would have been more accustomed to this, seeing it in the beginning of the gate rather than in the middle of the gate.
Yeah, if I didn't read Blackest Night, but I was reading Outsiders, I'd probably actually really like this storyline, but because I'm reading Blackest Night and I'm not reading Outsiders, it seems like you're right.
I'll say this right now. If anyone's jumping on from any Outsiders like to this first issue, to be the first issue of Outsiders, they're going to be confused as hell.
Yeah.
This book just starts off confusing as hell with her just standing there in the middle of a room.
Like me, I was confused.
I mean, I read issue 23 just to see her break through a wall. He's all like, ha, look at me breaking through stuff. And then she's there like, oh my God, I'm innocent. And I'm completely, don't know what's going on, Big Brother. Help me, Big Brother. Help me, Big Brother. It's just weird. The katana bit was cool. The giant splash pages that were done were awesome. I mean, her, you know, katana's family cutting in half a giant truck without killing anyone, mind you, was pretty amazing. Yeah, if you're going to do a giant event with zombies and everything, that's something you would like to see more often than just how flying overhead.
At least you haven't got any splash pages of, like, eating a sandwich or just taking a crap.
Those are on the way. But aside from that, I would say for the issue itself, I actually want to give it a C-. It wasn't that great. I mean, the bits with Katana were cool. I want to see more with Creeper was going to go on. And Halo and Halo's interaction into this whole arc. I mean, I actually want to see if she has more of an importance in the next issue than being just a giant flashlight that does nothing, like apparently Adam Scott is. So, you know, I give it a C-.
When's the last time Helen Scott made kind of an impact in the DCU? I mean, really. Nobody knows what to do with him.
Yeah, not anymore. I mean, since, like, World War III... During the early days of like 52 and stuff, he actually did some.
I think he could use his own book for his own chance to have some solo shine. You know,
I think it was cool when they had him in Checkmate. I mean, it didn't really make a lot of sense.
I completely agree with you. That is the best thing they've done for Alan Scott in perhaps decades. I mean, that is
sadly he was taken away from the book.
We're making JSA again, we gotta send it back. Hey, it's just fucking retarded.
It's weird how you had to take him away from the book and then give it to Mr. Terrific.
There's no forward gears.
Well, we move on to Superman and Batman number 66. You know, I start with you, Andrew. What did you think of Superman and Batman number 66?
I thought it was good fun. It was nothing substantial. It was just a bunch of nonsense with Man Bat.
Oh my God, I paid $4 on the outside of this issue.
I like the art. My instinct is not to like Scott Collins' art. I mean, it's kind of weird. It's kind of sketchy, but I get to like it after a little bit after this and the last issue of Solomon Grundy. It's kind of I don't think he's the right man for Flash, but I think he's the right man for something like this.
Wait, what?
Go ahead.
What?
Nothing. Go. Go.
That's rage.
Wait a second. He's got an opinion.
Black rage. Black Rage.
Is that an opinion?
It mostly comes down to indifference with just a hint of fun. I mean, it's a fun book, but nothing much happens in it. Again, it's nothing new here. I'm pretty sure this even takes place like at the very beginning of Blackest Night.
It has to.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest fan of Bizarro. I never have been, and this doesn't do anything to change my mind about it. He's not cute. He's not funny. He's not scary. He's just retarded. It's just that I see him on the page, I want him to leave, and it's just... That said...
So Andrew hates retards.
Yeah, I was about to say, Andrew hates retards. That is why Andrew hates Mew.
He's not endearing, he's not... Nothing, he invokes no reaction at all, he's just...
He's not Rudy, he's not Rudy. Radio.
He's not Rain Man.
Guys.
He's horrible.
Guys.
Well, in all fairness, you guys are getting at a really interesting idea that DC
not for
kind
Gump.
Of this like popular idea of like a handicapped person to kind of promote this idea of Bizarro. Like he's more like a fun-loving handicapped radio type guy, and that's why you should love him and stuff like that. I never understood why Bizarro needs to be stupid. He's just opposite. Like, why is he stupid? Like, because Superman's smart, he's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. That's not opposite. He should have just as much intelligence as Superman. You know what I mean? Like,
Andrew, what was your continuing review?
That's about all I got.
So was your like what was your grade then?
I give it a solid C. Solid C.
Not bad.
Not terribly looking forward to the next one, but you know, I'll buy it.
Of course not.
It's fair. Mew, what would you say for Superman Batman number 66?
It's kind of hard to say like what's best about this issue because there's some off moments, admittedly. Like
there's so much bad.
so many things horrible.
Bad. Going on with Bizarro and his spastic trip to the DC Universe. I don't know. I kind of like Bizarro in some weird way. He's kind of amusing at his own moments. The fact that he kind of formed this weird friendship with Solomon Grundy during the whole Solomon Grundy mini, I like that. But just to see his emotions like all weirded out was pretty interesting to me. Like what was his his response to me? Love you. It says rage, but he's like glowing violet.
He's violet for rage.
It's like the whole, even the emotional spectrum doesn't understand Bizarro.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Oh, wait, that's the other thing I forgot about Outsiders. Did you guys know that the color for compassion is now orange?
No, I think that was just the fucked up side of his body.
I think that it's just poor coloring. Anyways, continue.
Wait, I have to look for this now.
Yeah, and on like the last Terra page, it shows everybody's emotions, and Metamorpho it says compassion and it's orange.
Notice a bizarre.
Yeah, it does say compassion, and it is orange.
It's ridiculous.
Notice that Bizarro's hair doesn't have any emotion.
No, wait. No way, you're right.
His face is kind of greedy, and his chest is kind of ragey with a bit of hope and compassion, but his hair has no emotion.
That's because they inverted the colors and Bizarro's hair is black. Stop being stupid.
Huh.
But admittedly, the main point, this is only really existing as a Superman Batman team-up because they pretty much probably couldn't find anything else that would work.
What, for Superman and Batman?
Yeah. I mean, stretching it pretty thin with Bizarro and Man-Bat.
Well, Batman himself is frozen in an ice cube trying to prevent, you know, zombies from taking his heart out, and Superman is fighting himself over Kansas.
Could have used Batgirl and Flamebird.
They could have.
Supergirl
and
Batman.
Like, by the time this issue's out, we've already, like, Superman and Batman have already defeated their requisite Black Lantern. They could have run into each other. There's no reason they shouldn't, like... What the fuck are they doing? Like, you know,
it's basically
like you got something important to do.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, Robin's like, I better go find Bruce. It's like, dude, there's fucking zombies conquering the earth. Like, you know, Bruce, I gotta find them. All right, okay, we'll see you later.
See you later.
It's asshole. The only reason this title even really ties into Blackest Night is because it's a continuation from the miniseries. Not that it's basically the Superman Batman plot, but that's the reason it's in the book.
Yeah, the only reason Man-Bat's in this is specifically to like let this be part of that title. Like Man-Bat wasn't. They need to put Man-Bat in here to have something Batman related. Yeah, absolutely.
What's hilarious is that I think Mew, you didn't read Outsiders number 23, right?
I've read every issue in the run.
Okay, so how the fuck is Kirk Langstrom back in Gotham after all that crap he did in Outsiders number 23, saying he'll never go back and to leave him the fuck alone?
He was bipolar?
He was in Louisiana, wasn't he?
Somewhere along the lines, that's where the Killer Croc escaped, I think.
Whatever happened to Batman
more than anybody, but like even you read like in Batman and Son, he shows up, even though I believe the last time we saw him before that, he was him and his bat family, his wife and kids were flying around the country free and stuff like that. So all of a sudden, even London doing a conference trying to protect his wife and stuff. You know,
whatever
so.
Happened? It's ridiculous. The entire existence of this issue is just ridiculous.
Man-Bat continuity is ridiculous. It gets into why would anybody want to read about Man-Bat? And like, I don't like that Scott Collins goes to like the default werewolf thing. You know, where it's like, oh, I turned into a bat. It sucks. Like. Why? Why does that suck? Give me one reason why turning into a gigantic bat sucks. Like, that's it. You have to eat bugs? You suck blood? Like, that's not really that big of a deal. Like, get over
it. It might mess up his relationship with his wife a bit.
Yeah.
Well, he could, technically.
Yeah, but he's not like a bat all the time, like, you know.
He is.
That's the problem.
That's how they wrote him now.
It could still go on, but it'd be kind of awkward for her.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, she kissed him. She kissed him.
Hey. Who's
she has no problem with it.
Yeah. Who's she shouldn't in the middle be of... complaining if she's kissing him. She's only hurting the problem.
Only one person was crying in that relationship, and that was a giant bat.
Please, whose review are we in the middle of? Please finish your review.
It wasn't that bad. It's just kind of pointless to just hijack this title for the sake of continuing that when it should have just been like another series or something like that, or something addressed in Blackest Night rather than. That said, there were some fun moments, so I'll give it a C. You know, a good old Solomon Grundy Bizarro hug.
Eric, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I like Scott Collins' art a lot. I think he's got really cool figures. I think one of the best things about – well, maybe one of the only good things about Countdown, and the only issue I own of Countdown, is the one where he has the final battle between Orion and Darkseid. Because I think the guy's kind of like – everybody always says the guy's the heir to Kirby. He actually draws a lot like Jack Kirby in terms of like the way it physically looks, you know what I mean? So that's really cool. It's cool to see like that kind of style continue, you know what I mean? Like he's no friggin' John Romita Jr., you know, but he's got his own cool little like style and stuff. And he's just – I like him a lot. And the problem is that he doesn't differentiate his figures enough. And it's good to see him like certain splash pages of Bizarro. There's enough shadow to kind of – the figures are popping out and stuff. But like a lot of his action panels are too small and there's too much going on and stuff. And like if you guys can just look at the cover and how convoluted the cover is and like how on the cover Man-Bat's ear is over Bizarro's chin and that seems completely superfluous. Like that's just a layout error. The guy could have moved Man-Bat's head like an inch to the left and it wouldn't have been a problem. So the guy goes a little nuts when he gets on the page. That said, I like his art a lot and I think – honestly, if this and the second issue would come out in like a small little graphic novel that was like $5, I probably would buy it just because I like the art so much, you know. But it being a tie-in, it feeling so tacked on, I'm getting like morally offended having paid for it. You know what I mean? So
morally offended.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's one thing to be like, oh, you want to buy this kind of throwaway bullshit for somebody's art? Yeah, I buy Mike Mignola stuff all the time. I'll do that. But like to be like, oh, you got to buy it to know what's going on and have it be completely superfluous. You know, it's a waste of time. And Solomon Grundy, I think, is a really interesting character to make to Blackest Lantern. Blackest Lantern.
He is the Blackest Lantern.
Especially,
I was,
Thank you, Andrew.
I was going to make a joke there, but I chose not to.
Anyway.
Especially
the last few years, the characters in, like, Brad Meltzer's JLA became, like, a criminal genius and stuff.
Yeah.
All this nonsense would have done so much to the character, and he could be brought back from the dead and stuff, and I know his miniseries didn't end with him being separated from his, like, I guess, soul or whatever, so he was a soulless Black Lantern and stuff. So you can really get away with a lot of stuff. I don't feel like this issue is doing anything with that, especially considering the storyline's going to end the next issue. It's just some kind of slugfest, you know, and that's cool normally, but it does seem like a waste of time. I do think the conflict with Man-Bat is, like, mad outdated. Like, I'm not interested in dudes who are just upset their parents to monsters or something. Yeah, no, so, overall, like, I guess it wasn't really that great. But the one thing nobody's talking about, friggin' Frankenstein's in this issue. I love Frankenstein, absolutely. Like, I think Frankenstein is one of the best things Grant Morrison's ever done. Like, and I wish he'd show up more. I mean, so it's great to see him in here. I'm glad he was in the Solomon Grundy series and stuff like that. That's cool. But, like, you know, overall, this issue was kind of a waste of time. I give it a C+, and that's really just for the art. If it's for the story, it's a straight F. But C+.
Cool on.
Oh, thank you.
You're great.
Okay.
Grant Morrison gets credit for Frankenstein.
Well, Grant Morrison gets credit for Frankenstein, yes. Okay, well, I enjoyed the art on this issue. I thought the writing was okay. You know, like, Scott Collins is a good artist. He's a competent writer. But I think someone else needs to lay out his books and, well, not even necessarily lay out his books, but the lines are okay. Somebody needs to write his plots for him. Tell him what's going to happen and then just have him write the book. Because this book just, like, really didn't make a lot of sense. And it was, I mean, like, it was pretty, like, the entire concept of the book was pretty stupid. Like, the concept was stupid, but the writing was good, if that makes any sense.
Nope.
It was, I think it was poorly plotted. But if I take away the plot and just look at the writing, it wasn't the terrible writing. Like, it was like somebody's like, here, take this retarded plot and write a story around it. And you come up with Final Crisis. But it wasn't all that great. I'm going to have to... I mean, I don't even want to say it wasn't as bad as the Outsiders issue, because it was pretty bad. Like, I was reading this issue, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, why is this even happening? What does this have to do with Blackest Night? And, like, why is this a tie-in issue? What is... This is stupid. I was just... I was, like, C-. It was, I guess, a little bit better than the Outsiders issue, judging by what it was, but...
West.
I am a huge Scott Collins fan.
Yeah, he's
great. Love almost everything he does. I will buy a book just for Scott Collins.
It's an odd choice for Flash.
Not read his Flash? Have you not seen his Flash?
You don't, I'm asking, you don't think he's an odd choice to draw Flash?
Hell no. He drew Flash before and it was perfect.
Did he?
If take a look at the page where Man-Bat's wife, and she's
Francine,
and the flashback of him and her together. That's the more crisp style that Scott gave the Flash issues that he did back in the day.
He just seems so sketchy, and it seems that's just the opposite of what I would imagine that. The best Flash art would be.
Actually, Wes, just quickly, I want to totally agree with you. Those, like, five panels, I really love those five panels.
Well, I think in the Flash, I think it's one of the things, especially you look at the Rebirth, you can kind of tell. The best Flash pages are really they really should be very busy but very clear, and that's kind of like why one of the reasons why the latest issue of Rebirth sucked, you know? But, like, very busy pages are very clear.
Sucked.
That's Scott Collins' like thing, though. Yeah, I think Wes is right. Very busy, very clear. I think his Flash is really cool. I think he's better off really drawing these big, bulky monster guys. But, like, I agree that he's great for Flash.
I thought when they first announced the Solomon Grundy miniseries, I said, oh, that should work. He's got that sketchy art, and that should really work with him going to a more darker tone. And for the most part, it did. I didn't finish the series because the writing wasn't that good for the first couple of issues. But as for this issue, it was more of Solomon Grundy to me. And I thought the writing was pretty piss poor. Let me take that back. I thought the plot was piss poor. I don't know where he's going with this.
That's exactly what I said. I thought the writing was okay, but the plot was just terrible.
And I don't care where he's going with this because, like Andrew, I could give a fuck less about Bizarro. and Man-Bat, I just read Streets of Gotham by Chris Yost today. I thought that was crap. And I like Chris Yost. I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's Man-Bat.
Yeah, fuck Man-Bat.
Because Man-Bat's just really fucking up my week today.
Don't hit the play.
No one technically knows what to do with Man-Bat anymore. It's like that one obscure cat Batman universe that no one knows what to do.
Actually, that little Batman Superman logo.
Like Killer Croc? Oh, yeah, the logo. The logo does that
work. I like the logo.
That's pretty awesome, not for nothing.
Yeah, it's not bad. I don't really have anything much to say more than you guys said. Great art. No plot, decent writing. Feels like Booster Gold all over again.
Yeah.
I'll give it a C-.
Oh my god, I'm in the West Camp again. What the hell?
Wow. Pretty diverse grades this time around.
Yeah, did you say something?
Well, no, I'm gonna get into it right now. I actually, you know, again, I do like, you know, Scott Collins' artwork. I got nothing against it. He does really good monster people. Frankenstein being a book was a great plus. But the story itself was just, like most people say, the plot itself was straight trash. Just because, again, I've read Man-Bat in so many other different books, like, now, that I just can't fit one personality to him anymore. It's like he's either one crazy psychopathic bat being chased by Huntress in one book. He's either one crazy psychopathic bat in Louisiana trying to get away from his wife, or he's apparently one crazy psychopathic bat going like, you know what, I miss being human. and I just don't know what to do anymore with this guy. It's like, just get rid of him. I mean, he's apparently offering nothing except being the giant misjudged monster just floating around. It's just becoming redundant with his character. You wouldn't get much of it unless, again, you've read the Solomon Grundy 7-issue little mini arc that came out, last year. You have to understand what happened. Like, sort of understand what happened there just to understand what's going on in this first issue, just to get Black Lantern Solomon Grundy coming out of nowhere. Even though you know it's a given he's gonna show up.
Yeah.
But aside from that, it's just an awkward book. Artwork is great. Plot, not so much. I would like to see in the second issue that Frankenstein actually has something to do with the story, outside of just getting thrown around by Bizarro and never to be seen from again. And then it's just a no holds barred fight between Black Lantern, Solomon Grundy, and Bizarro and Man Bat, which to me is like, why the hell's Man Bat there for?
Yeah, what are we doing with Man Bat now? Fuck Man Bat. Did I say that before? Fuck
yes,
Man
you
Bat.
Did. Probably. We've come to agree with you there.
Fuck him on his stupid ass.
Of course.
With your raging heart
again,
on.
Yeah. Once again, Andrew.
They're fucking clowns.
Aside from that, my grade for this issue actually would be, a D+, because I didn't really like it that much. It gets a D+, because I really like the artwork, but I just can't stand the story. Superman Batman number 65 is a 5 out of 5 that fuck Man Bat. 66.
Was it 66?
66.
Fuck 65, too.
65 is probably garbage, too. Have you guys ever read this issue?
One of the half thick paper cuts out of 5.
Have you ever read this book?
Yeah, the hell happened in 65? All right. And now we're going into the apparently creme of the creme, all the ones that we apparently liked in these 3 issues that came out this week. Avenger Comics number 4.
Fuck Man Bat in his Batman hat, honestly. Fuck this issue.
Like, in his Batman hat?
Don't you remember the Batman hat?
Batman hat?
First off, I thought it was condescending when it opened the first page and Batman R.I.P. was huge, because we're all supposed to think fucking... You know, he's this douchebag fanboy, and that's, like, the big sign. I feel like that was some kind of fucking subtle D on fucking Jeff Johns' part. So, fuck him. Batman R.I.P. was awesome.
I won't let you talk bad. I won't
he's
let you
a comic
bad,
fan.
That's nice. Like, the Scream Award winner.
I mean,
wait,
I don't care.
Keep going for your review. I want you to start.
Okay, yeah. Because Sterling Gates actually cool. I've been reading the Superman comics, and I actually really like the storyline of the Superman comics right now. And Sterling Gates writes Supergirl. He's actually terrible on everything except for Supergirl, and this just kind of proves it, you know what I mean? I feel bad dissing the guy, but, like, again, fuck this issue, you know what I mean? Like, Jerry Ordway is awesome. Like,
so
awesome,
better.
Awesome, awesome. I think the guy should draw everything. I'm surprised he's still drawing anything, honestly, but, like, he's great. I love this guy. The storyline is so confusing, because the last time we saw Legion of Three Worlds, you're supposed to think it's great that they put Superboy Prime back on Earth Prime, which didn't exist anymore, one. And two, it was supposed to be great that he apparently murdered his girlfriend and, like, had his parents constantly in threat. We're supposed to be like, haha, gotcha, kid. And, you know, honestly, it is a condescending, like, insult to DC fans, this like, what he did with this character and stuff like that, you know what I mean? But at least we know he's reading shitty comics, because all he seems to be reading is Blackest Night and stuff like that. So, yeah.
shitty comics like Blackest Night, he says on the Green Lantern podcast.
And honestly, he did mention offhand that he got electrocuted and that's how he died, Alexander Luthen. That's not how he fucking died. Didn't he get shot in the head?
He got shot.
Yeah,
Wasn't Luthor even there?
Luthor was there.
Yeah, Luthor was there.
Wasn't that even the point that was what Johns wrote about his death?
Yeah, he like wrote his own death wrong. Yeah,
Jeffcon the Jeffcon.
Probably that we shot him in the head afterwards.
He Jeff conned himself. There it is.
And like, okay, my other big thing with this issue, Superboy Prime is actually a character I would really like, but Jeff Johns has no idea how to develop the character into anything. When he first showed up, we're supposed to be like, oh, he's a fucking noob because he doesn't know what he's doing.
He's a loser.
Uh-huh. Then he like loses it, and then he all of a sudden is crazy, insane, evil. Like if you read Countdown, he like kills like billions of people. It's ridiculous.
He vaporized a pregnant woman with heat vision.
So you're saying in the future, time runs concurrently next to present time?
Exactly.
Because if he just escaped from his house, he would have always escaped in the past. It's not like – it's like they're sitting there –
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Haven't you read Flash Rebirth number 5? Come on.
No, think about it. Alexander Luthor entered the universe, he altered time.
Keep up with the Johns verse, man.
That's what I'm saying. Like, listen. Okay, so – apparently, if Lincoln, if these guys just found out Lincoln was assassinated, they'd be able to go and stop it. That's ridiculous. And second off, they know what the guy's doing, but they let the guy totally apparently murder his girlfriend. That's not a problem. They're like, ah, that's just let him go.
They were on vacation.
It's fine.
And like, the guy, like, okay, he's got super strength, whatever, and I understand it's supposed to be a joke that he gets all pissed and he tells his parents to drive him to the thing, and that is funny. But, like, if he has, we don't even know, from the end of Legion of Three Worlds, I assumed he still had friggin' his powers, you know what I mean? So, it's confusing to me, why doesn't he just fucking fly or run to the goddamn comic?
He had his powers, but they were, like, really weakened, and I think it was just like, you know what?
You know, like, it would be even sadder for Prime if he just kind of weakly hovered up and down, like, 3 feet off the ground to the comic shop.
But, like, also, he wouldn't even find out that he's weak in powers until the end of the issue, when Alexander Luthor's like, oh yeah, your powers are weaker, right before I give them back to you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, fucking clarify the Jeff, what's going on, you know? Like,
the Jeff Johns school of telling you everything that's going on.
Exactly, yeah. I'm in love with you. Why? Because. Oh, that's a good one.
Isn't that so just a freaking Jeff Johns hate fest?
That's love for you.
It's the Jeff Johns slash Man Bat hate fest.
Because? Yeah, all right, because.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I
wish, and you know, honestly, Jared Ordway is great, but whoever inked this didn't know what the fuck they were doing.
Oh, God. Like, and the coloring.
Oh. It's that Dan Jurgens coloring. Let's throw Dan a lot of color on it.
High five, high five.
Throw a lot of color.
Oh my God, no, look at this Joker. His lips are white.
That was a terrible page, though. That was Ordway's bad on that page.
What I like on that page actually is that I like the Superboy getting smashed into the thing pad. Because Ordway's thing is, he's like, look at the fucking bricks, honestly. Look at the tower. Like, that's such an unnecessary amount of detail to put on, like, Adventure Comics number 4, who everyone, including me, including hopefully everybody on this podcast, is going to say is shit. You know what I mean? Like, just to waste such great effort on this, you know what I mean? So, like, good for this guy, you know?
How dare they put effort into a comic?
Just this comic, like, fuck that noise. I mean, honestly, like, ugh. And all the Alexander Luthor, for some reason, Alexander Luthor was drawn, I guess he had his eyes closed, like, that looks terrible, like, you know? There was a couple of really funny jokes in this issue. I think, I like that he tried to get his parents to drive the thing. Why did the guy not check the fucking internet at his own house? I know we're supposed to be stupid.
What's a random internet connection in this guy's
Yeah, right? Shop? The comic is like, hey man, we have this old, like, 1980s computer in the back.
Oh, yeah.
The
oldest computer.
Look at that shitty computer.
He had to know what happened the next issue.
Yeah, and it was metatextual and like, no. Just, I don't, honestly, fuck this issue as much as possible.
Okay. With that, I'll go to Andrew. Andrew.
Walking into the podcast, I actually kind of like the issue, but now after hearing all of your reviews, I'm sorry. I agree with a lot of what you're saying, and it's like, you know what, that Batman RIP posted, that was kind of a dig, wasn't it? And it's like, all this...
I feel like it was.
I think it was a friendly tribute.
Wait, we'll get to you in a second.
I've gotten a little bit worked up, actually.
And it's like I love this issue. I love this issue. Oh my God, Erica, you're so right. This issue sucked.
You made me hate this.
Rage.
But the art, I like the art. I like Ordway's stuff, and that does... Yeah. That's the saving grace here. I was kind of interested in just the return of Superboy Prime, even though he hasn't been gone that long. I mean, it was supposed to be a lot longer than it was just because of all the delays on Legion of Three Worlds. But the Alexander Luthor thing was sort of odd, though, isn't it? I mean, the Black Rings now have the ability to cross universes now. I mean,
yes. No, only Alexander Luthor does. That's one of his powers.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. Okay, now I'll buy it. But where do these other... What about the Black Lions at the end of the issue? Where did they...
He brought them with him.
He brought them with him.
Right. Well, he brought the rings.
He brought the rings with him. Yeah, I don't know.
We don't know where he stopped off.
No. Okay, check it out, right? He brought the rings with the fingers, and the fingers regenerated the body. Shut up.
That's as much sense as we'll get.
Yeah, that's right, Jeff Johns. I just made sense out of your issue. What now? What now?
Yeah. Like I said, considering this is Blackest Night, I'm surprised we didn't get a splash page of each one of them coming out of their grave saying Rise. So we should be lucky.
Continue, Andrew.
I think Jeff can be a great workhorse if editorial really reined him in and, you know, put him under their thumb. But they don't do that, especially now, because now he's just, like, larger than life and no one can fuck with him. I think that's one of the reasons I liked Rebirth so much, Green Lantern Rebirth, that is, just because back then he was kind of on the rise, but not quite there yet. He was a name, but not quite like untouchable yet. And I think editorial kind of did say like,
well, I mean, he didn't have the Spike TV Scream Award for best writer.
He's never coming on. This motherfucker, you see this? Nothing can touch me. Nothing.
He was
2009 Scream Award winner. Me.
He wasn't. With Superboy Prime, I've always felt like Jeff has been using him kind of like as a filter for himself in many ways, and this is no exception. But it's kind of fun in this sense, at least the first couple times I read it. I mean, just
the first couple times.
So Jeff Johns killed his girlfriend.
What?
You guys keep
wanting to go buy comics.
You guys keep saying that, but we don't really have any evidence that he killed her at all.
I agree with that. He probably just scared her off.
I think that's pretty solid evidence that the parents are deathly afraid of him for like a reason.
He probably cut off her ear or something and let her go.
I think it's going to. My prediction is it'll be revealed in the next issue, but it won't be. What
yeah,
you
maybe
think. Something weird that's kind of unusual, but not death. I liked it, and now I kind of greatly dislike it. But I would give it, in all fairness, I give this one a solid C+, just on the virtue of the art and the kind of the fun with the metatext and all that stuff.
Wuhan. Give us your kind of terrible, kind of good, kind of great.
I feel very much like Andrew did in that I walked in like, you know, this was pretty good. Now you guys made me hate the damn issue.
Eric has destroyed the issue for everyone.
Right?
I'm sorry, Jeff Johns has done that to you.
Like, okay.
We didn't feel that way until you spoke.
I'm sorry, Jeff Johns has done that to you.
Still, though. That being said, of the three books this week, this was by far the best, which is saying something.
Right.
Because it wasn't all that great.
I would say I liked Outsiders as like a medium middle ground, but yeah, I mean, I can see where you're coming from.
No, yeah, I definitely say Adventure Comics, of the three books that came out this week, Adventure Comics was the best book. The art, as everybody said, it was great. Obviously, there's some things that look weird in the inking and coloring, as you guys said, here and there. But other than that, the art is definitely really good. Evidently, this has become the Jeff Johns hate fest, so...
Yeah, sorry.
I don't hate Johns.
I do like a lot of the stuff he's done. I absolutely agree that he should be fucking reined in, like, honestly, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there is some stuff he's gone a little too far, but I don't really notice that stuff. I just sort of like, oh, okay, well, this is what happened. Even if it's not actually what should have happened, it's what happened now. Whatever. That's how it works.
It is the now.
But, I do like the, I mean, I like and dislike the comic store owner guy. Like, sort of like, oh, you like Superboy Prime? Oh, me too. Oh, yeah. It's like they told him, dude, draw a stoner, but, like, he's not a stoner anymore. Like.
So just a burnt out?
It's like it's like he lives in his mother's basement. But he doesn't live in his mother's basement.
I wouldn't be surprised if that comic shop was his mother's basement. I mean, he has a computer like set up right there in the middle of the damn store.
No,
next to his coat rack.
Windows 3.1.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I love is that like all the computers in this book are like the like boxy ass computers. But then like if you look at it really closely, it's a like a really boxy ass PC. Running OS 10. If you look really closely, it's running Macintosh OS 10. It's got the finder and everything.
Wait, never seen a computer. That guy's like
old school.
He draws with stones and fire.
Like,
that's how he draws.
Right, yeah. He saw a computer like 5 years ago. He's like, oh, yeah, computer's doing that right then.
Computer, okay.
Yeah, the computer I got at home.
Yeah.
It has a printer.
It has a printer. Wow.
I drew the tower on this. Yeah.
But,
it prints in color.
I mean, all in all.
Hurry up.
C+.
C+. West.
Muhan.
I didn't notice it at first, but I'm looking at this RIP poster, and it's pissing me off.
You should not have let Eric go first.
It's really pissing me off. Like,
you hear that, Jeff Jones? You hear that, Jeff Jones? You pissed off Wes.
How dare a comic fan have a poster of Batman?
I don't see.
Superboy Prime is supposed to stand for everything we hate.
No, he's not.
If he likes.
Does that mean he can't like one or two good things? No, no. As far as
Jeff Johns has repeatedly has told the audience of how much we hate him, it's how much we hate him.
No, Superboy Prime is supposed to be. He's supposed to be.
Everything Superboy Prime hates just coincidentally happens to be the exact same things that Jeff Johns seems to be hell bent on changing to that end. You know?
He has Blackest Night. Is he trying to change Blackest Night already?
Yes, he is.
Once again,
I'm telling you, Blackest Night will end in a giant retcon that Blackest Night never happens. Continue, West.
I think that's true to some extent. There will be a big magic
wand. I don't think so, but yeah, I like to see it.
There's going to be some kind of a big magic wand to undo a lot of things.
Yeah, it could undo a lot of stuff, but yeah.
I wouldn't call it a retcon, but something.
It's going to undo itself.
Did anyone notice how Alex called the computer a box?
Your newfangled technology.
Look at his newfangled technology.
Well, isn't he from the
1980s computer? It's so bad.
It's a conduit for rage. Well, he's not a caveman. Yeah, that's right.
Isn't he? It's retarded.
Did he like lose half of his brain during the rotting stages? Or
probably.
And apparently, he checked all the internet in 2 seconds for Superboy Prime's name. Within like the panel, and was able to see that everyone on the internet hates him.
I think he's just dicking him around.
Maybe something weird happened. Maybe we should read a little bit more into the electrocution bit. If you look at it closely, like the memory download seems to cease at the point of electrocution, and then his mind kind of stutters a little bit with it. And then I died.
Didn't that happen in Doom Patrol?
Yeah, that happens in Doom Patrol also. Like, right, the moment of their death, they repeat it over and over again, as if it's something that they can't fully comprehend.
Then again, who says Terra isn't retarded?
I think I'm upset because I hated Infinite Crisis, and now I really hate Infinite Crisis, the sequel.
Yeah.
And you just know that nothing will. Superboy Prime and Alexander Luthor probably aren't going to do anything beyond this two-parter in Blackest Night.
Which is worse because I could give a shit anyway.
Wait, you need to remember one thing. Adventure Comics number 7 featuring Black Lantern Superboy.
See, now are they talking Connor or are they talking.
They're not going to kill Connor after just bringing him back.
Well, no, wait.
Yes, they would.
His body in the chrysalis could.
Exactly.
EFCON!
1,000 years!
That's actually a really clever idea.
But there's a problem if they don't put it back.
Yeah, they need to put it back when they're done with them.
Right? They put it back when you're done.
Nothingness. He's dead.
I like how he avoided the obvious answer that Superman probably just knew about it and let it happen. But yeah,
I love you take out Superboy, just hang out with him for a little while, then put him back when you're done.
No, there's a little star. There's a little Starman note left out in Waffles that says, "Don't touch Connor's body. Healing."
Well, there's definitely everybody's bodies are gonna go back to their graves. I can't imagine we're gonna have. Blackest Night Aftermath, which is like, everybody dragging their loved ones back to their...
which gives more credence to the magic wand that everything is going to come.
Yeah. There's got to be something like that, yeah.
The thing is, they have to decide who gets to stay alive and who stays dead.
Bring back Earth 2 Superman. Make him your current Superman.
Yeah. D-, because I didn't like the art as much as you guys did, and I thought the coloring was ass. Plus, I didn't read Legion of Three Worlds, so I was extra confused.
This is retarded. Just give your review.
Personally, one issue I thought we didn't touch on enough was Superboy Prime actively tried to save his parents. It's like the first nice thing he's generally done, and since he came back.
But were they the right thing to do for the right reasons, or the right thing to do for selfish reasons?
I think it's because he wants to be validated. I think that is a kind of clever use of the character, but too little.
What does it matter if he's doing the nice, right thing?
Well, I think the reason he's doing it is because it's like, oh, nobody likes you, not they like me. I got to say the only people who like me.
Yeah,
At least it is a nice thing for once. I'll agree with Andrew and give it a C+ because the art was pretty good. There were some decent moments, and I like the real effect on it. But there's just some. I don't know. My brain is half dead at this point from 2.5 hours of the shit.
So, I don't know, right?
C+.
Yeah, we got C+. What can I say? I love the artwork. Except for the fact that, you know, half the time the Alexander Luther looks like some sort of weird simian.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird. He looks like a weird simian, especially when he's looking at the little crazy box computer. He's like, what the hell is this crazy future device?
What is this future box thing?
Yeah, it's freaking...
And we're back.
He has the two coconuts in front of him. He's supposed to be like, you know, it's supposed to be the mass makeup of a freaking Dr. Seuss or whatever.
This 1980s compact.
We're back to the Crypt Keeper look with the teeth on the outside and no lid.
Yeah. It's weird. It's just
inconsistent.
It's crazy. It's and Superboy Prime apparently owes that guy a computer monitor. You know, busting his face.
That was awesome. You know?
And then the reemergence of all these dead 90s characters that all showed up at the end of the book. Wasn't I great on this?
You didn't give me a
4.
It was a 4.
7.
I'm 100.
342.
No, it's like, yeah, I give it a C. I give it a D, D plus. That's pretty much, I mean, there's nothing. There's nothing going on here. All right. Everybody.
On the web at www.thegreenlanternlore.com and check out my videos at www.youtube.com/NeoDevilBane. You can look forward to a short appearance by Kuhan coming up here in the Connor and Duncan Show Episode 3.
Woo.
Watch for it.
Check it out. It's going to
be
awesome.
Kuhan's got the magic voice.
Yeah. I got that smooth radio operator. Be sure to send us voicemails to 206-337-8210.
You had voicemails for us, didn't you?
Like I was saying, they might get played on the show, like there's this one right here. Supposed to be.
Hi, guys. This is Doug G8 from Atlanta. I just wanted to call and let you know that I'm enjoying the podcast. They're great. Keep them coming, and we'll keep the talk up on the boards. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
That was Doug ATL?
Doug G-ATL, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Doug. Okay, yeah, they did the banner.
Yeah. And then, of course, you could send in your praise, or you could send in one like this.
Dear Christ, why is Mew still on this show? Jesus, motherfucker spends the entire time talking, interrupting people who have something important to say to make his stupid, shitty-ass jokes that are never fucking funny. Get this guy off of the show. It's an awesome show, except for this motherfucker. God damn it. It's like he has a degree in fucking dumbass. Get this shit away from your show. All the other guys, you guys are awesome. Thanks a bunch.
So how about that stalker?
Was that Naysay or somebody else?
It wasn't Naysay.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't Naysay because it didn't sound like Naysay.
No, it didn't sound like it.
It's his evil twin.
I think I know who that was. I'm not going to say it. But I think I know who it was.
Jeff Johns?
Yes.
Oh my God, man, Jeff Johns.
It was Jeff Johns. Jeff Johns hit Mew. All right, yeah, so...
I'm the biggest fan of this freaking cast.
It's Ron Mars.
So be sure to check your send emails to contact@glspotlight.com, glspotlight@gmail.com. You want to check me out? You want to check us out on Twitter? Twitter.com/glspotlight. You want to check me out on Twitter.com/Kuhan. That was way too fast.
Craigslist.com.
Mew at Craigslist.
Jokes are funny.
Green Lantern and Green Lantern Corps are properties of DC Comics and do not reflect the authenticity of this podcast.
It fell 1,000 years ago, green fire, so hot. A carving and a man and a superman, and his name was Alan Scott. A man without fear, and that's for sure. He got his ring from Ophensor. He fought all the evil hordes, and he's the real one, Hal Jordan. Green Lantern! Green Lantern!
podcast, the Green Lantern Spotlight